Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to go ahead and stand and read from our scripture this morning. As we're standing, we'll turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Turning to Ephesians chapter 3. It's a great blessing again to be here together, to worship, have communion, prayer, to watch you fellowshipping with one another. John said, it gives me no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in the truth. So seeing the children of God, loving each other. We find ourselves in Ephesians chapter 3. If you're fairly new to our ministry, we not only teach from the Bible, but through the Bible. So on Sunday, we left off last week in chapter 3. We left off in verse 13, so we'll be at verse 14. And if you are interested, our Wednesday night Bible study, we're in Matthew chapter 19. So in Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 14, it says, "For this reason I bow my knees," so Paul speaking, "I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Father, this prayer is so helpful. I ask that you would, as the song stated, open up our hearts. We can receive your word gladly. Give us, Lord, the outpouring of your Holy Spirit, and we'd experience the fullness of Christ even now, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Paul is speaking about prayer, and he spoke about prayer earlier in Ephesians chapter 1. So he has two prayers that he records for us in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians chapter 3 that we're in right now. The first one was speaking about enriching our walk with him. This one, prayer, is about how he enables us to live the Christian life. You'll notice next week, as you might read in advance in chapter 4 of Ephesians, he's speaking about how we can walk worthy of our calling. So there's a real divine plan. Paul lays down what is known as doctrine, chapters 1, 2, and 3. In other words, who is Christ? In chapters 4, 5, and 6, how do I live in a way since I have this relationship with Christ? How does that work out? Prayer is an important part. I have never asked somebody to help me because I think I pray too much. It's the opposite. I really don't pray in a way that I want to. I do pray, and prayer is an important part. And if prayer wasn't a part of our ministry, and prayer wasn't a part of the before ministry and after ministry, we'd be in big trouble. Prayer is essential. I know that. But there's aspects of my prayer life that have been yet to be developed in a way that I would like them to be. I remember back when our children were very young. We have three daughters. And as many of you know, when you have small young children, you don't get invited over to many people's houses very often, especially for a meal. But fortunately, this other family had three girls also. My kids were really excited about that. And they were ready to go, and we got a call. The phone rang in the house, and we picked it up and said, hello. You know what a phone is, yeah. And unfortunately, a couple of their daughters were sick, and they wouldn't be able to have us over. But we said with our girls, come on, we're going to pray together for these two girls that were sick. So we gathered in the kitchen at our house, and we prayed for those two little girls that Jesus would make them better. Amen. And then my three daughters, right away, went towards the back door where the coats were at. They all put their coats on and said, I said, what's going on? We're going now. Where are we going? We're going over to the people's house. We prayed for them that Jesus make them well. So let's go. They're well. And it was interesting. Just that in itself challenged me. Because we're praying to Jesus. Jesus knows everything. We asked him to heal them. So now we can go over their house. When you look at verse 14, we're in chapter 3 of Ephesians. In verse 14, Paul starts it off with three words, for this reason. Now, we're familiar with those three words because back up in chapter 3 in verse 1, he started off, for this reason, I, Paul. So we're waiting for the reason, but last week it's as though there was a parenthesis. It's as though that the Spirit of God wanted us to know something before he moved ahead with bowing. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 14, when I look, okay, for what reason? And the answer is for all the things that we have learned up to this point. We have learned that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And he enumerates on these blessings we have from the Lord. We've been accepted in the Beloved. So therefore, Mephibosheth or anyone else, we've been accepted. We can come to the King's table. We can actually come boldly to the throne of God at any time to find mercy and help in time of need from Hebrews chapter 4. He's accepted us. He's forgiven us. He's redeemed us. He's given us an inheritance. He's sealed us with the Holy Spirit. Paul is saying, for this reason, for this relationship that we have with the Lord. Not only that, we learned in chapter 2 that the wall of separation has been broken down by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you think for a moment the hostility in this world, and you can think of hostility in certain regions, if you think of the Middle East region and you see Hamas and the hatred that they have for the nation Israel, what would it be like if all of a sudden those walls of division, those walls of hatred, the walls of animosity were broken down, and now you have these men and women coming together and doing what we're doing here? Well, it would be similar for the Gentiles and the Jews. The hostility existed between them. And when Christ died on the cross, he said, there's no longer Jew or Greek, man or woman, slave or free, rich or poor. We're all one in Jesus Christ. That's what he did. He broke down that wall of separation. The curtain in the temple when he died on the cross was torn from top to bottom. There was no longer a need for another man, a high priest, to go before us, to go to God for us. We go directly to God. Paul is saying, for this reason, I bow my knee. And then I thought a little bit further, and I thought about Paul and just the thoughts I have about Paul. I'm introduced to Paul in Acts. And in Acts, he is against the church. He would be a first century antichrist. And the way he lived and behaved, he hated the church. And he hated Christians. And he did all he could to kill Christians, to take them to jail. He created havoc within the church. He wanted to destroy the church. So when I think about Paul, that comes to mind. When I think about Paul, they're killing Stephen, perhaps the first martyr in Acts chapter 8. In chapter 7 of Acts, if you wanted a quick Old Testament overview, it's right there in Acts chapter 7, given by Stephen. These men knew the word of God. And Paul has the garments of those that are executing Stephen. He's holding the garments of the executors of Stephen. I'm thinking about Paul. I'm thinking about him on the road to Damascus with every intention to destroy Christians, and God apprehends him and he's blind. This determined, driven man is now at the mercy of somebody else to lead him. He's blind. He receives his sight. He goes out into the wilderness in Arabia and he spends time with Jesus, perhaps 3 years. What was that like? Thinking about Paul. I'm thinking about Paul. He said he's bowing his knees. I'm thinking about his life up until this point. I'm thinking of 3 missionary journeys. I'm thinking of in Jerusalem going to Festus and Agrippa and saying, I appeal to Caesar. I'm thinking of him saying, I'm going to Rome. I'm going to bring the gospel to Rome. I'm going to bring it to the Caesar in Rome. I'm thinking about a shipwreck on the way there in Malta. I'm thinking about him getting bit by a viper in Acts chapter 27. And the people of this island of Malta saw Paul being bit by a viper and saying, surely he is a murderer, and this is the justice of God against a murderer being bit by a viper. Paul shakes the viper off into the fire, and they're waiting for him to die. And he lives, and he's strong in proclaiming the gospel. And they said, he's God. And they wanted to worship him. I'm thinking about Paul. I'm thinking about him now in Rome. I'm thinking about him in jail. I'm thinking that he is bound 24/7 to what would be the special forces of Rome. Every 6 hours or so, they switch out with another person, another guard. He's giving the gospel every time someone new comes to him, because it says the palace and Philippians guards came to faith in Christ. So now we have Paul, and he's chained up, and I'm thinking about what this would be like. He's going to say, I fought the good fight, I kept the faith. There's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. He knows his death is pending. He knows he's going to get beheaded. He already knows that. But he's staying strong in the Lord. And it says, I bow my knee. So in my mind, I'm thinking of him chained to this special force guy from Rome. And guys, what are you doing? Getting on my knees. I'm praying. What are you doing? Bow down, brother, because I'm praying. And so he's going to pray. And I follow sports and have growing up and still do. I enjoy it. I enjoy learning about athletes and different skills and different sports. I enjoy coaches and seeing their strategy and how they prepare. I like that. And many times a coach is going to have a clipboard or they have digital devices, but they're showing plays and strategies even in the midst of a game. And in a sense, Paul is giving us a sense of a chalk talk right here regarding how are you going to, Christian brother and sister, live out the Christian life. So he's praying for us, and we get to hear this prayer. What's on your heart, Paul? So he bows his knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So he's saying that there's people, the whole family in heaven and earth. That means there are people that he took their life like Stephen that's in heaven. There's other people that are on earth. That's the way it is for us right now. As I bow my knee before the Lord and pray, I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking of the responsibility of caring and loving and serving a flock of believers in Jesus Christ. Jesus loves you, so do I. And praying and interceding and asking God for his help in your life and through your life. And Paul is praying, and I'm mindful of those that have lived that life. I look forward to seeing in heaven, certainly, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the fellowship of believers, seeing Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, seeing some people in my family that have passed away, seeing loved ones that I know, friends that I know, He's praying that the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. By the way, it saddens my heart, because I know people, and so do you, people that want to be harsh and disrespectful. They use God's name in vain and Jesus' name in vain. They don't want anything to do with his loving grace to bring salvation. And it saddens my heart, because the truth is, every person, those on heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So the most wicked atheist today on earth, you're going to face Jesus as your judge, and you're going to say he is Lord. But not for salvation. Your destination is a lake of fire. And it grieves my heart. I don't take any delight in that at all. I want to see all come to faith in Jesus Christ, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. So all that is of Jesus, the riches of his, of what he has accomplished for us, the glory of God, when we read in chapters 1 and 2, all that the Lord has brought for us, he is praying, Paul is praying. Here's the prayer. Number one is to be strengthened with might through his Spirit, through the Holy Spirit and the inner man. So Paul is praying. We are praying. What prayer should we be praying? Father, strengthen us in the inner man. Our outward man is perishing. The inward man is being renewed. And you know, when we're using the word man, we're speaking men and women. So we're perishing. We were looking at some pictures over these last couple of months of our recovery process here, of just our journey together. And we're looking at some of those pictures and just laughing, thinking, who are those people? Because we know who we are today. And it's just like, that guy used to get up and jump and run, and he shuffles out of bed now. I've had the privilege of being with men and women that have loved Jesus, men and women that have found themselves at the end of their life, men and women, sometimes they're in hospice, sometimes they're at home, but they know that their journey on earth is nearing an end. They know that. They know that they're going to die soon. And they're not discouraged. They have great hope. The outward person is perishing, but the inward is being renewed. And they love to hear the scriptures, and they would say, read again, read again. And they're scriptures that they're familiar with, and they know them so much. But the Word of God is living Word of God, and it ministers to that spirit inside of them, the inner person, the inner spirit inside of them, because it's alive. And I would say that my experience is this. My experience is they are the strongest believer in the room, that they're that close to passing into the heavenly realm, and they are so filled with the fullness of God and the love of God. I leave there and I call my wife, and she says, how'd it go? Because it's not easy many times, but it's on my part. For their part, it's like I go away being blessed. I'm so encouraged by this person that I went to care for and minister to. They're so strong in the Lord. I'm so weak, but it's such a blessing. Why? Because be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. And we have to do, and then with might through his Spirit in the inner man. And we have to look and see, there's the outward man, and we're taking care of the outward man all the time. We take care of ourselves. We pay a lot of attention to ourselves. Some recent statistics indicated that around $300 million a day in the U.S. are spent on clothes. because I'm taking care of the outward man. 550,000 pounds of toothpaste every day in the United States. 69,000 gallons of mouthwash every day. 250,000 packs of mints every day. I'm not saying don't use it, but we're very attentive to ourselves. We're very attentive to the outward person and the presentation of that outward person. Very mindful of that. But the outward person is going to perish, and he's saying we need to be far more attentive to the inward person, the person of the heart. And that's why he's praying in that prayer that we see, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man. Notice in verse 17, the second thing, in this prayer, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height. So he's telling us another prayer is not only to be strengthened in the inner man, but that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We stated earlier, what does that mean? What does it mean to dwell? And it means that Christ is making his home in your heart. That's what it means. And we sent out a little email booklet regarding that last night, and it helps explain that. You may look at that later if you haven't seen it. But Christ wants to dwell in your heart through faith. So the point is this: as born-again believers, Christ does dwell in us, right? But we put things in our mind and our hearts that are not appropriate. And God is saying, Christ wants to make his home in your heart. And the prayer is that God may be able to dwell without competition, that he would have complete authority over your life. You may say to somebody, they need a place to stay. It's a family member, it's a close friend. You say you can come stay at your house. You care about them, you're sincere. And you're going to be away for a couple days, maybe on a business trip or a little trip. You're going to be away for a couple days. And you say, oh, just make yourself at home. You say that, you don't really mean it, but you say it. Because you come back and it's just like, what? The kitchen's thrashed. Your socks are on my bed. What are you doing? You said make yourself at home. Yeah, well, I take it back. But in a sense, in an exaggerated way, we're saying to Christ, make yourself at home in my heart, in my life. I've allowed things in my heart and my life. It's not right. I've thought things. I've said things. Perhaps I've had bitterness in my heart or anger, other things. God, I want you to dwell in my heart. I want my heart to be a place that is a place home for you, not competing with other things. And Paul is praying for that. We're praying for that, that being rooted and grounded in love. We live in an agricultural community, huge. The production of fruit from our county is huge on the national market, especially raspberries. But we're also known as an apple state, Washington is. We've illustrated in the past, it's timely again, because you look at that apple tree in the late summer or fall and you're excited about those apples. If you like them, I do. Sometimes I pick them too early. But you look at the tree and you see the apple, you see the leaf, you see the branch, you see the trunk, and you see that bright, beautiful fruit. But there's something you don't see. As much as you look, you don't see it. And you don't see the roots. And it's because of the roots that there's fruit. Fruit comes from roots. And in our own life, the only fruit that comes to our life, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control, such as that, come from a spiritual root system. You can't see my root system, but you can see the fruit that indicates there must be a root system. And he's saying, you let Christ dwell in your heart and life. You let him make home in your life. Watch what that does to the root system, spiritually speaking. And watch the fruit that will come in your life. And the fruit is going to be demonstrated by love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Continuing on in our text, it tells us in verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height. When we think of a fellowship of believers, it says, don't forsake the gathering of the believers, because in it, love and good works is stirred up. My life, our life, is very enriched because of you. Getting to learn a little bit about your life, the direction you're going, the way God's using you, the challenges that you faced or are facing, the prayer requests that you send in and we're able to pray for you through the week, the road that you're on, the width, the length, the height, the depth. I mean, it is incredible. It would be such a joy to hear each of you individually for a period of time talking about the faithfulness of God in your life, that you're able to comprehend what he has done, the testimony of what he has done. And it says in verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. When we see that we have prayed and we have experienced the strengthening with might through his Spirit, we have prayed that we'd have a greater spiritual appetite. We would pray that our prayer life would continue on. Paul says, I bow my knees. The question is, what is the appropriate prayer posture? Is it kneeling? Is it standing? Is it walking? What is it? It can be whatever you want it to be. But here's what's more important than your posture. Even if you're kneeling down, what's more important is not the position of your body, but the position of your heart. What is my heart? What's the position of my heart when I pray? Some of your best prayers are while you are driving. And if you've been to Seattle, that will increase your prayer life. Don't close your eyes while you're driving and praying. But we see that the Holy Spirit is working inside of us. We have a hunger and thirst for his word. We're taking it in. We have humbled ourselves before God. We have, through communion and examining our lives, there's things that are inappropriate in our life. It's only between you and God. But you need to make, you would want to make, you would desire to make the change. I don't need that anymore. That's a distraction. That's a hindrance. You know, I'm not comfortable with that. You know, I wouldn't want my thought life projected on the overhead screen. It's just like, God, help me. Purify my heart. David said, and see if there's any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and to be filled with the fullness of God. This world wants to fill us with a lot of stuff. We need the truth of God's word. And finally, in verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And I'm wondering, do we find ourselves at a place where it's absolutely impossible? without God. Without God working, moving, answering, it's impossible. I don't need to see another doctor, another counselor, another person. I need to be face to face with Jesus. And I need to be so dependent upon God work, God move. If you don't move, I don't know what we're going to do. I'm so dependent upon you right now. You've been in that place. You know what I'm talking about. And it's a place where God allows situations to come that he wants to do something that is beyond what we could ever measure up or come up with in our mind, exceedingly abundantly. He wants to move and work mightily. I believe that he is doing that, but so much more in the day and time in which we live. I believe he wants to see many, many more of our young people come to Christ and walk with Christ. We're praying for that. I thank you for our younger people that are here today. God bless you. Thank you for coming. It's encouraging. You face a battle that many in our generation never faced. The intensity, the difficulty, the darkness, because of social media and everything just piling on all the time and to sort out. And it's very difficult to even have a quiet moment or to be disciplined enough to just to turn off the device and to be with God. We love you. We pray. I believe that there's two things. Either there's an all-out revival or the rapture's happening real soon. And for me, as much as I want to be with the Lord, Paul says, I desire to be with the Lord, but to be with you is better. I look forward to being with the Lord, but I know the mission that God's called us to. And I want to see as many men and women, boys and girls walk with God. That's my heart and my prayer. I believe in the rapture. I believe God's in control. I believe it totally, wholeheartedly. I look forward to that blessed hope. But my investment is in the body of Christ, to see the wayward come back into a walk with Christ, to see the lost found the grace of God and forgiveness, to see the body of Christ built up, to see us using the gifts, to experience the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, to experience a life filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And my wife is here, and it's a great joy. But, you know, a month ago, she was in such excruciating pain, she passed out in front of me. And I don't know if this is it and if it's over, but I'm losing my wife at this point. And I'm saying, don't leave me, stay with me, stay with me. And from a chair down to the floor and praying, there was nowhere else to go. Yes, we did call 911. Yes, we're thankful for the doctors. Yes, we're thankful for the medical support. Yes, we're thankful for your support. But it's at a point where, God, unless you move right now, this is tough stuff. Please do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ask or think. And just to have her here today is huge, because there's periods of time whether we would ever have this morning again, whether our time together at church as a couple after 47 years, is that changing permanently? We'll take whatever you want, Lord, but I want to pray and believe that you will do something above and beyond whatever we can ask or think. I need you, Lord. I need you to work. Please work. And we want to give you the praise, because it follows up to him. It says to ask or think according to the power, that's the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the power of his Spirit working in us. It doesn't come from me. It comes from him. And then to him be glory. So we give you glory. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. It's a day-by-day journey. It's a new journey. We're on it. We're committed to it. Thank you. Be glorified. May your church be glorified. And what we're doing, we're living out the faith. But our heart is for the next generation. It says right here, to all generations. And we're handing the baton off. Basically, don't drop it and run to win. Let's stand for prayer. The worship team's coming back up to lead us in a final song. I'd like to pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much, Jesus, for your word. Peter would say, Lord, where can we go? For you alone have words of eternal life. We've come to believe that you truly are the Son of God. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for filling us. Thank you for the prayer of Paul. Thank you for how that prayer becomes our adopted prayer. And so we do pray that you'd fill us in the inner man, that you would allow the presence of Christ to dwell fully in our hearts without any competition of things in our heart and mind that don't belong there. Purge that from us, Lord Jesus. Be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name.